Well, welcome to all of those in the building and who are joining us online. We are so very grateful to God for putting it on your hearts to be with us here today. My name is Pastor Andrew, and it's an honor and a privilege to stand before you today as we continue in our journey through the book of Galatians. Now, Paul wrote this letter to the believers in Galatia because he got wind that there has been, to quote my dear brother, Pastor Marvin, a whole lot of shenanigans going on. It's a real word, I think. There were some who were teaching a contrary message to the truth of the gospel, and Paul was feeling just a tad sassy about what he was hearing. Apparently, they did not know, or perhaps they forgot, the most simple mathematical equation in the history of math, and that is Jesus plus nothing equals enough. I was an English major. I was horrible at math, but if that was the equation, I would have passed every single math class. Instead, I did not. Today, we're going to continue in chapter 5 of the book of Galatians, and in a moment, we're going to look at verses 13 through 15. But before we dive in, let's briefly recap why Paul is so upset. So if you could put up Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 for me, I would greatly appreciate that. I'm amazed that you are so quickly turning away from him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. And I love this part. Not that there is another gospel. That's passive aggressive sarcasm at its finest right there. But there are some who are troubling you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, a curse be on him. Paul is saying there is only one gospel math. Jesus plus nothing equals enough. We have a clear choice. We can believe and receive, or we could deny and not even try. We can put our faith in works, or we could put our faith in salvation through grace. Salvation through works is a Jesus plus, and it will not point to him. It will point to us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 reminds us that we are saved by grace through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one may boast. You see, when we realize the undeserving grace that God has shown us through Christ's selfless act of love on the cross, we not only give God all the glory, but we also have a deep desire to serve others with that grace in mind. So if you brought your Bibles with you, your scrolling finger, if you could turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. And I always wanted to do this, and I got to do it first service, so I'm going to do it again. If you're ready, say ready.
Ready.
If you're hungry, say let's eat. Heavenly Father, as we get ready to eat out of your word, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for not just only preparing the meal and setting the table, but for filling the seats with those that know you, those that love you, and those that are seeking you. Let us savor the flavor of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's take a look at these verses, and then if it's okay with you, we're going to break them down one by one. For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters, only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, for sin, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, love your neighbor as yourself, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. I've titled today's message, One Serving Love. And if this sounds familiar to any of our tennis fans here in the room, you would be correct. I chose this title after I looked up how this came to be the terminology for keeping score in tennis. And there were several very interesting theories. One of them was that an egg looks like a zero, and the French word for egg is loof. And then eventually people just said love, and that's how it became what it is. But the one that stuck out for me was, it's based on a 17th century phrase that says to play the game for love. To play the game without placing a wager. You see, when we place a wager, we expect something in return. And we often forget that if we don't win, we lose what it is that we bet. But the good news is, for the believer, God already placed the wager through Jesus, so we don't have to. And he did this out of love. Love. But it's not a love that we can understand. It's agape. Agape is unconditional love. It's chesed, which is loving kindness. It's so hard for us to wrap our brains around these concepts because in our flesh, it's impossible for us to achieve that level of unconditional love. We can strive for it, but only God, one serving love. If I had to give you a definition of chesed or agape, I would have to turn to the Bible, and that would be to John 3:16. This is the ultimate example of what it looks like of unconditional love. For God loved the world unconditionally in this way. He gave his one and only son so that everyone, whether you deserve it, whether you want it, whether you ask for it, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That is the ultimate loving kindness. That is a picture of unconditional love. So for those that are believers, now I'm not condoning this, I'm just saying in theory, you could walk into a casino, walk over to the roulette table, pick a number, don't place a bet, the wheel spins, your number hits, and you go, I won. Now the world's gonna say, you're crazy, you won nothing. As a matter of fact, you lost big time because your number came in and you didn't bet anything. Oh, but for the believer, the things that we lose are a win. We lose pride. We lose anger. We lose disappointment. And we lose ego. And I personally don't care if the world thinks we're crazy, because our identity is in Christ and not in the world. It is not the world that defines us. It is God who defines who we are. And too often, we allow the world to define who we are by allowing the world to define our language, allowing the world to define God's word. You know, the world has changed language to fit the times. The world has changed definitions of words to fit the times. The world has made up words and then made up definitions to give definitions of a fake word. But God's word isn't made up. God's word isn't fake. God's word does not change. So we not only need to read the Bible, but we need to study the Bible as well. So let's go ahead and put up Galatians 5:13 through 15 again. For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. And here we go. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. This word freedom in Hebrew is chofesh, and it represents the idea of liberty, release, and the ability to act independently. Now, the world defines freedom as, don't tell me what to do. I can live however I want. I could say whatever I want. I could do whatever I want. And if we have that mindset, when somebody walks over to us and says, hey, have a great day, what's our reply going to be? Don't tell me what to do. But we're not talking about worldly liberty. We're not talking about worldly freedom. We're talking about Christian liberty, biblical liberty, Christian freedom. And this word freedom, Christian freedom, does not mean we're free to do whatever we want. True Christian freedom means this: we are free from sin's guilt because of the forgiveness of Christ. We are free from sin's penalty because of the sacrifice of Christ. The power of sin over us has been broken by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. And that, brothers and sisters, is what the true definition of freedom is. Yeah. And this knowledge, this freedom should cause us to serve one another through love. Now, I'm here today delivering this message because most of my life, I have been serving others out of love. I started my career in the restaurant industry in the late 1970s. I was 14 years old, right here in Las Vegas. My first job was a busboy at a really popular Chinese food restaurant called the Golden Wok. And if I remember correctly, it was Pecos and Tropicana next to Savon Drugs. And I think it was the original Freed's Bakery location. And it was here that I instantly fell in love with everything about the restaurant business. So for the first half of my career, I did what I did out of love for the business, except for the times when the owner was a jerk. I didn't make good money, or customers were rude, go figure. Listen, for those of you who grew up in Vegas and might have eaten at the Golden Wok while I was employed there, fear not, I don't hold any grudges. Something changed for me over 2 decades ago when God changed my life. And now for the second half of my career, I serve others out of love for God. Now, are customers still sometimes rude? Yeah, none of you guys though. If you're feeling convicted, that's not me, just so you know. Are customers still sometimes rude? Yep. Do I sometimes not make good money? Unfortunately, yes. Is the boss, owner, sometimes a jerk? Full disclosure, that's me, and yes, yes I am. The difference now is I think of God first and not my own earthly desires, but serve one another through love. This word serve, it's just so vague. Serve what? A drink? A meal? A compliment? A volleyball, perhaps? Certainly this can't be what Scripture is saying. Now, there's several words in the Hebrew language that translate to the word serve. They mean to do. They mean to work. They mean to serve a purpose. If we could put Exodus 23:25 up here, we could see it in a command form. You shall serve the Lord your God. The Hebrew word avod or avodah, yeah, it means to serve, but it also means to worship. You shall worship the Lord your God. And that brings me to my first point here today. When we serve others, we are participating in an act of worship. But we have to ask ourselves, who are we worshiping? It certainly cannot be the person we are serving because our worship is reserved for God. My wife was here in the first service and I got brownie points for saying this, so I'm gonna do it again. My wife and I have been together for 40 years. Yeah, thank you. Amazing, because I'm only 40. No, I'm just kidding. I admire her for being with me for 40 years. No, I admire her. I respect her. I love her. I adore her. But I cannot say that I worship her. But what I can do is worship the ground she walks on because it's not her ground. I worship the one who placed that ground under her feet. I worship the one who placed her in my life. We have to remember that when we serve others through love, we are worshiping God. And if we serve others for something so simple as a thank you, it's wrong. Because what happens when we don't receive the thank you? If we serve others because, oh, it makes me feel so good, it's wrong. Because what happens when it doesn't make you feel good? And if we are not careful, we start hearing this voice in our head. And if that voice grows louder than Christ's love, this could happen. Watch the screen.
What's up, girl?
He stood me up again.
Again? Mm-hmm. Well, what's up with this guy? Do you really like him that much?
Yes, honey, I love him. He is fine. He does a lot of nice things for me.
I know he used to do nice stuff for you, but what has he done for you lately? time when you were waiting for me. Used to brag about it all the time. Your friends seem to think that you're so rich and keen. My friends seem to neglect is all in your mind. Who's right? What have you done for me lately?
What? What have you done for me lately? It's so funny because back then that like shoulder move was like aggressive. That was like super aggressive. So I imagine two UFC fighters, they're squaring off at the weigh-ins, and then the one dude drops down and just starts going, just going like that. What have you done for me lately? Now, I don't have Janet Jackson doing that weird shoulder thing and singing in my head. Here's what I have. I have Rockwell making me super paranoid. I always feel like somebody's watching me. All right, took you a minute, but okay, thanks. Pastor Mike's not here, but I can imagine. He's my theological mentor. I can imagine when he comes home from the mission trip and he watches this, he's going to be shaking his head going, oh my gosh, Pastor Andrew, he quoted Janet Jackson and Rockwell in the same sermon. Oh, mercy me. I can only imagine who he'll quote next. Yeah. I'm a dad. It's a dad joke. I'm so sorry. What have you done for me lately? You know, when you ask that of another person, you're kind of asking that of God. And honestly, that's probably not a good idea. And do you mind if I tell you why it's not a good idea? Would that be okay? Okay, listen, here's why. Okay. Besides creating everything we touch, everything we feel, everything we see, everything we taste, everything we enjoy. Besides, through his common grace, which is outside of saving grace, he filled both the believer and the non-believer's lungs with air today. He sent his only begotten son to die on the cross so that we might be reconciled and he would be glorified, so that we might be justified and he would be magnified. He died on the cross and rose from the grave so that we would experience freedom and eternal life. And that is what he's done for us lately. So when the Holy Spirit prompts us to serve others, we should be like Pastor Hayden's favorite shoe company and just do it. Oh, but we want to know why. We want to know why. When my brother and I were little boys, our dad would ask us to do something and we would go, why? Probably look just like that, only with hair. Why? And my dad would look at us and he would go, because Y is a crooked letter. Now back then I was young and immature, and honestly, I had no idea what my father was talking about, but he was my authority figure. I respected and I revered him. So I just did what he said. Now that I'm of the age where I lost all my hair, I realized what my father was saying. He was saying, because I said so, which brings me to my second point. Sometimes we serve others because I am said so. When it comes to serving others through love, God would rather us be transformed than informed. God is not seeking workers. God is seeking worshipers. The why we do should always be greater than the what we do. Let's continue on, if we could throw Galatians back up, chapter 5. For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters, only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. Here we go. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, love your neighbor as yourself. I want to give you my perspective of this verse as a Jewish believer. This word law in Hebrew is the word Torah. And Torah appears at least 200 times in the Old Testament. The Greek translation of this word, Torah, is nomos. And it also appears over 200 times in the Greek New Testament. And listen, 90% of the time, these words translate to mean God's teaching or God's instruction, and not the English word law. Torah is the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Paul is not saying that the law is a bad thing or an unnecessary thing, because we wouldn't say that God's teachings or instructions are bad or unnecessary. And you know what? God can't hate Torah because God is Torah. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I checked with Pastor Mike so I could say this with the utmost of confidence. There is no name of God, whether in Hebrew or Greek, that translates to the great self-loather. So what is Paul talking about here? What does he mean? To get a better understanding, let's take a quick look at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's good news, no? Because the law, oh, wait a minute, law. Oh, but this one's the law of the Spirit, so that's okay. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, by our sin, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh. That's not us. But those who live according to the Spirit, oh, that's us, have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. Paul is saying the law is okay. You know what? The law is necessary. Pastor Hayden shared with us that the law can be a good thing. You know why? Because it exposes us. And once we are exposed, we need to be covered up. And that is what the law can't do. Now, some of you might be saying, hold on, wait a minute, Pastor Andrew. I'm a good person. I follow the law. The law says, do not murder. And I have never murdered anybody in my entire life. And I would say two things to you. First thing I would say is, that's good to hear. I don't have to call security. And the second thing I would say is, at best, that's partially true. You see, the one who fulfilled the law said this. If you've assassinated someone with your words or your tongue, guess what? You've committed murder. Married couples, you might be saying the same thing. Pastor Andrew, I've been faithful. I've never gone outside my marriage. I've never committed adultery. And again, I would say to you, at best, that's partially true. Because the one who fulfilled the law said, if you have lusted with your mind or your eyes, you have committed adultery. Partially true is another way of saying mostly false. And partially covered. If I was standing up here partially covered, somebody would have covered me up a long time ago. Partially covered, what does that look like? What does that look like? I'll tell you what that looks like. Here's partially covered. You walk out into a rainstorm. You open up an umbrella frame with no material on it. And then you walk around wondering why you're still getting wet. That's partially covered. Torah exposes and condemns but does not cover. The one who is Torah, the one who fulfilled the law, covers and comforts with no condemnation. You could clap. Full coverage. And as a chef, oh man, I love full coverage. I love full coverage. Look, if I'm making a plate of French toast, traditional or Crunchberry, your choice, I don't judge. All right, we're all good. If I make a plate, making a plate of French toast, and I'm getting ready to finish that, to put the final finishing touches on it, I put that plate down on the counter and I stand tall above that plate. And I want to stand up tall so that I could see the whole plate. And then I grab my powdered sugar shaker and I lift it up high, high above the plate. And I rain down the sugary sweetness as it covers the entire plate. Listen, when we're standing over a plate of sin, we need to stand up tall so we could see the whole thing and allow the sugary sweetness of God's word and mercy and grace and forgiveness and salvation to cover that plate. If I'm buttering an order of toast, I want full coverage. because if I miss any spots, they're going to be dry and nasty, and someone could potentially choke, and I don't need to get sued, okay? Not worth it. And you know what? I'm not ashamed that I cook with butter, because margarine is a false gospel. The law of the Spirit covers. It comforts. It fills us with the Holy Spirit, and instead of condemnation, we find conviction. And conviction forces us to take spiritual inventory. There's an acronym in the restaurant industry. I want to put it up on the screen. It's FIFO, and it stands for First In, First Out. It's a tool that we use for inventory control. So it cuts down on waste and spoilage. But more importantly, it's so that we're always assured that we serve our best and our freshest first. Well, every morning we should take spiritual inventory of ourselves and use FIFO, First In, First Out. Let me ask you this. When you wake up in the morning, after the first cup of coffee, it's cool, I understand. After the first cup of coffee, what is the next thing you consume? Is it the word? Because that's what's coming out first. Is it the argument you had the night before with someone? Because that's what's coming out first. Is it the news? Is it the world? Is it, listen to me, is it anti-social media? Because that's what's coming out first. Pastor Hodnin gave us this great inventory control, this great way to make sure we take spiritual inventory and use this FIFO. It's so simple. Whatever the date is of the day, you open up your Bibles and you turn to the corresponding proverb of that day. It's so simple. And I promise you, you could read the same proverb over and over and over again, and it's always going to come back fresh and new, because God's word never returns void. Today is the 23rd. Proverbs 23. No, it's a super long proverb. We're only going to put up verses 15 through 18. And we don't have time to go over the whole proverb. So let me give you my interpretation of what this proverb is saying, the majority of it. It's saying this. Don't eat at a restaurant that doesn't have an A, because you're potentially going to eat some poison. Read it for yourselves and you'll see what I'm talking about, okay? But these verses 15 through 18, man, this is what a fine example of what it looks like when we practice this first in, first out. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will indeed rejoice. My innermost being will celebrate when your lips say what is right. How do we know what is right? God's word is right. Don't let your heart envy sinners. Don't. Social media, who cares? Who cares? Instead, always fear the Lord. For then you will have a future and your hope will not be dashed. Brothers and sisters, that's not a promise, that's a suggestion, but that's a promise right there. That's truth right there. Let's look at this last verse as we get ready to close. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. Here's what Paul's saying here. Paul is saying that if we put our faith in the works of the flesh, it will consume us. And in turn, we will start consuming others. We weren't called to be cannibals, were we? Of course not. And this brings me to my third and final point. We're going to put it up on the board here. Save the biting and devouring for a delicious meal at the Original Sunrise Cafe. Open until 2:30 p.m. today, I'm just saying. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your agape love, your agape that covers us, that gives us life and liberty and freedom, frees us from sin, Lord. We are so very grateful for that. Father, as we get ready to leave here and walk out of this building into the world, would you remind everybody that you are not confined to these walls? That when we walk out of here, you are walking with us, Lord. Father, we thank you in advance for the blessings that you've already prepared for us this day, the day that you have made. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children say, amen. Thank you, Walk Church.